Well, good morning, everyone. Just looking over you here. There we go. Looking you all over here. It's just great to be here to worship with you all. We could be anywhere. We could be in the mountains. We could be at the beach. But we're here. And we're here worshiping together. So what an awesome time this is for all of us. So it's good to be here with you, enjoying this awesome time. Hey, we're in the FaithWorks series. We're in almost to the end. Next week will be the last one. Pastor Brian will be bringing that to us. But it's been quite a journey, hasn't it? I just love James and his practicality of what he does and how he explains things to us. And for my mind, that's really a good thing because he doesn't use a lot of big words. He just comes right at you. And that's what I love about James, the book of James. So today, before we get started, let's have a prayer, and then we'll move right into the Word. How's that? Heavenly Father, we are blessed to be here today to worship you, to just lift our hearts on high, and just to lift your name there as well, God. We just love you so much. We know you love us so much. That's why we're here today, to worship you, God, and to be with our fellow believers here in this room today. So, God, we just ask a blessing upon everyone here, that they can feel your presence in their lives, that they can take that love that they have for you and share it with everyone around them in the workplace and at school and wherever they go. Jesus is there. So God, bless them and bless the word today in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're going to be heading over to Faith Submits. That's today's title. So remember that, Faith Submits. And we're going to James 5, 1 through 12, but we're going to break it down. And we're going to start with 1 through 6. And if you have it in your Bibles there, I want to get start rolling because I'm ready to roll. So I got to keep going. All right, so here we go. Now listen, you rich people. Weep and wail because of the misery that is coming upon you. Your wealth has rotted and moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. Wow. You have hoarded wealth in the last days. Look, the wages you failed to pay the workmen who mowed your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached ears of the Lord Almighty. You have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened yourselves in the day of slaughter, and you have condemned and murdered innocent men who are not opposing you. Wow. Some harsh words there. Glad I'm not wealthy. That's not what it's about, okay? Because we're all wealthy. If we look at the world as a whole, each one of you in here is considered wealthy compared to a third world country. So when we think of Bill Gates and Warren Buffett and all those people as being the wealthy folks, well, consider yourself wealthy as well. Okay, and that's what we're looking at today. But James does not condemn wealth as a whole. But the greed and the injustice it can breed. Now remember that. He's not condemning how you earn your wealth or who you are that earned that wealth, but how you use or abuse what has been given to you. And when you look at those words in that way, they look a little bit different, don't they? What they're talking about here today, James is talking about here today, is the oppression that some people put on the workers. And back in James' day, this oppression was a prolonged, cruel or unjust treatment or control. Now back in that day, the landowners, the big wealthy folks, most of them were not believers, okay? But the workers, a lot of those were. And they believed in what Jesus had taught them, what they have heard through the laws of the books of Moses. They knew what was in there. They knew the laws that God had set before them. So these landowners had it sort of over them. You see, the laborers, they had to raise money each day to live. They lived day by day. In order to feed their families, they needed to be paid at the end of the day. To have supper or breakfast, that's just the way it was. Day to day, life. And some of us may live that way as well. And that's a tough way to go through life. But the landowner, where I'm going with this, is the landowner This one time this guy came, these guys worked all day in the hot sun, laboring in the fields, mowing the grass, as James has said. And they didn't have mowers like we did. No way. They cut the grass by hand. But they worked hard all day, and this guy comes out with his muscle men, the thugs that he brought along with him. And he said, "You're not being paid today. I'm not paying you today." No reason, just, "I'm not paying you today." Now, remember, these folks are working day to day to live life to life for their families. So what do you think the guy does? He lets all of those workers hanging, and he goes home to his nice luxury palace, eating the fatted calf that they talked about, living the life of luxury while these people could be dying, and in some cases may have died if this would continue. See, James puts it here, "You have condemned and murdered innocent men who are not opposing you." If you go from day to day without food, without money to buy food, yeah, you'll eventually die. And that's what James is telling us here. The oppression that these folks were under by the hands of one person, a landowner, he's telling us that is exactly what will happen to these folks. By withholding the wages, it gradually kills them. And he makes that accusation directly. And guess what these folks are supposed to do? What do we do when we're facing oppression? Be patient. How hard is it to do that? Be patient, then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. And that's what you want to hear, right? That's going to make it all better. Really? You're supposed to wait while somebody's smacking you down? You're supposed to wait until the Lord comes to make things right? What do you think? What do you do? Really? Here's the other part. In 7D, as I put it. See how the farmer wants? See, let me get this right. My contacts are really messing with me today. Sorry. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield his valuable crop and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains. Don't you love that? A farmer he uses as the source of patience. Well, think about that. There are farmers in here. I know that. People that do farming. They have to be patient. In the autumn, they harvest their crop. They get the fields ready for the spring. And over winter, they wait patiently. They wait patiently. And then, in the spring, they put the crops in the ground, cultivate things. And what do they do again? Till harvest time in fall, they wait some more. All the time, depending on the Lord to provide the rain and the sunshine that is necessary. Waiting. But they're not just waiting, doing nothing. See, just like us, we have things to do while we wait for the Lord's coming. The farmer is mending the fences. The farmer is painting the barn, painting the fences. He's taking vacations that he can't take when the crops are here. The farmer is doing something while he's waiting patiently. And we, as we wait for the Lord's coming, should be doing something as well. We should be preparing our souls and ourselves for the coming of the Lord while we patiently wait. Now, I know it's hard to wait patiently. Hey, I'm right there with you. But James is telling us about patience. He's also telling us about our money and the wealth in that first section. So we're going to continue the money talk. Now, what's it speak about you, to you, and about you? I'm going to tell you one thing money says to me. Goodbye. That's a joke. Okay. Goodbye. Every time I have a little bit of money, I always find some way to get rid of it. So it says goodbye. You see, money can seduce you. Think about that. Money can say sweet nothings in your ear. It can tell you you need this, but don't do this. It can tell you you don't have to donate to the United Way or whatever, because now you can't take it off your income tax. So you don't have to do it anymore as a deduction. It can say, you know, the church has a whole lot of money right now, so we don't need to give any to the church right now. That's what it can be telling you. But those things are wrong, because those things are not coming from God. The voice we need to listen to. Money can talk sweet nothings in your ear, but God speaks those words of love and compassion into your ears as well. That's what we're supposed to be listening to while we wait patiently for the Lord. Matthew 6, 19 through 21 talks similar about what James has already said. Do not store up yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Hear those words? Certainly we need money to live our lives. We know that. We need money to pay our bills. But where does your money go? And what does it say about your heart? Think about that. James 5:8, it says, you too, be patient and stand firm because the Lord's coming is near. Oh, that's so true. It's closer than we know. It could be later today. It could be the next minute. It could be years from now. We just don't know. Jesus wasn't even told when that day was coming. But when oppression comes, we need to accept that we cannot change everything and trust in God's judgment. That's where we're going today, folks. We can't change everything, but we got to trust in God and His judgment. So here's what I'm going to tell you. Wait well, not wait badly. And we'll get to why in just a minute. But wait well, not badly. Which brings us to our next verse here in James 5, verse 9. Don't grumble against each other, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged, and the judge is standing at the door. Man, when I read this and read through some of the commentaries, I was taken back to high school. Yeah, that's a long time ago. But I still remember. Either it was good stuff or bad stuff. And in this case, anyone knew me in high school, this is the bad stuff. Okay? Well, what happened here was, and remember, standing at the door. Remember that part. The teacher, this is high school now, okay? Some of you guys can relate here, and ladies can relate in high school. The teacher said, I got to go down to the office. I want you guys to read such and such a chapter, and I'll be right back. So behave yourselves. Well, there was the clicker right there, telling me to behave myself back then. Even today, it's a little rough. But back then, it was even tougher. Okay, so she walks out the door, and what happens? Well, we used to get straws at school, and we had little pieces of paper that you spit wad in your mouth, and they fit real nice in the straw. You started shooting spitballs everywhere. You get the paper airplanes flying. You're having a great time. You're getting big clumps of paper and chucking it at people and yelling and carrying on. You're just having a great time. I was right there with them. Guess where the teacher was? Standing right outside the door, waiting to see what we did. Wow. When she opened the door, she really trusted us kids now. You got to get that part too. She really trusted us, but we let her down. And she opened the door, and there's trash everywhere. I mean, it was a terrible sight. And she opened the door and just shook her head. She was disappointed. She was very disappointed at us. Didn't say a word, didn't have to. It was written all over her face how disappointed she was in us. And she just went on with the lesson, like nothing ever happened. Well, what a testimony to her, and what a lesson for us. You know? But what will Jesus see in your life when he comes walking through the door? Will it be something like that? Complete chaos? How are we treating one another? Are we grumbling about every little thing? Got another story for you. I'm full of them today. About the grumbling part of life. You know, a father was on a train late at night with his little baby. And it was late at night. People were hunkering down to get to sleep. Had the pillows and the blankets and everything. And the little baby starts whimpering a little bit. You know how babies do. When they're tired, they whimper a little bit. They might be a little hungry. Well, I don't know what this one had, a wet diaper or whatever. But this baby started bellowing. I mean, just echoing all over the train car. And people are pulling their blankets up, trying to muffle the sound. They're pulling their pillows up around their ears, just trying to cut down on the noise. And finally, this big, burly guy, he's sitting in the back. He said, that's it. He gets up. He goes storming over to this man and his baby. Yeah. This guy's this big guy. And he says, mister, why don't you give that baby to its mother? Maybe she can do something with it. The guy looks up. The guy looks up and says, the baby's mother's in her casket, back in the baggage car. Whew. Bam. Grumbling. Over something you have no idea is going on in someone's life. You know that big burly guy? He's feeling about that big, walking back to his seat with his head down. Should be. But folks, I tell you that story because sometimes we go off on somebody and we don't know what's going on in their life. We have no idea what else is going on in their lives. You ever do that? You ever do that? Now, some people, they sometimes need to be told. There are those people. But even those people may have something going on in their lives. So before you jump off the handle, I'm going to ask you to be patient and wait and find out what's going on before you jump. It's not the end of the story, okay? I'm not going to leave you hanging there. A big old guy, a big guy went back to his seat. He got up again. Baby still crying, still bellowing out. But this time he had some time to think and pray. And he went up to the father and he said, "Why don't you give me the baby so you can get some sleep?" See what happens when we wait and think before we act? Jesus wants to see us caring and loving on one another when he comes through that door. Isn't that what you want him to see in you? You want to see that. Jesus wants to see that. Don't grumble. Wait well. Remember at the top it said, wait well, not wait badly. We want to wait well. I know I do. Verse 10 and 11 help us do that. It gives us some examples to follow in different prophets from the days gone by. Brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. James 5, verses 10 through 11. Yes, it gives us so many. We have Isaiah, Nehemiah, we have Elijah, Elisha. You can go through the list of the prophets of the past and find those examples of waiting and the perseverance that they have gone through. But the fact that they had spoken in the name of the Lord did not mean they were free from suffering. And Mark Chevelle says part of the point is that God does not preserve from suffering those he called. I like this. Rather, he preserves them in the suffering. Let me read that again. Part of the point is that God does not preserve from suffering those he called. Rather, he preserves them in suffering. Same deal he did with Job. Job was God's declared him to be the blameless and the upright on earth. We all pretty much know the story of Job and what he went through. Because God knew he could take it, he let Satan have at him because he knew Job would stand up to the test. He knew it. He knew he would. In one day, he lost his livestock. He lost his wealth. He lost his children. And eventually he lost his health. I mean, come on. How would we stand up with that? It was all gone. Everything gone. Think of your own life. If the test was given to you, could you pass? Everything is gone. Job remained steadfast in his faith and trusting God, always trusting in God, always obeying God, always believing God is in control. Man, that's hard to do sometimes, and we're waiting around, patiently waiting to be healed, patiently waiting to have grief taken from us, patiently waiting for the pain to go away. And he was patiently waiting, I don't know how patiently, but he was waiting for the day of restoration as well, which did come. See, Job praised the Lord even though he could not understand the injustice God had allowed in his life. See, God never explained the whole thing to him. Never explained it. You have questions for God, I'm sure I do, that he has never explained to me. Probably never will, but you got to trust That He is doing what is best for you. That God knows what He's doing. You need to trust in Him. Through his faith and trust in the Lord, Job's faith and trusting the Lord, God delivered him from the senseless and restored him twice as much as he had before. God restored him to better than he was before. God takes us on many journeys. Some of us have been on them recently. Some of us are still on a journey that we've been on a long time, and we're pressing through. But it reminded me of a road trip. With my family years ago, when they were little kids. Some of you parents can relate. Going to Bethany Beach. I'm talking about journey now. And here's what they always got halfway. Maybe we got 15 minutes into the journey. Probably guessed it. Are we there yet? We're not out of Lancaster County yet, but we'll be there in about 2 hours or three. And maybe 15 minutes later, are we there yet? Yeah, we didn't even hit Delaware yet. And are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? It gets pretty annoying, doesn't it, as a parent? But we put up with it. That's what you do as parents. And you that aren't parents yet, you'll get your chance. Okay? Are we there yet? You think Christ gets annoyed with us when we're asking that same question? See, as God's children, we are taught lessons along the way. And oftentimes we may ask the question, are we there yet? No. You need to learn to trust my control more. Are we there yet? No. You need to understand that life isn't always smooth. Boy, we know that. And are we there yet? No. You still don't rely on my strength. See, folks, it's all about patience. Waiting well each and every day. I'm not really great with patience sometimes. I'm sure you guys have your challenges as well. But patience is a virtue, as they say. And we're all working at it. The question goes back, are we there yet? No, we're not. But are you willing to get there? We have one more verse in this part of 5, verse 12. And the Message puts it this way. And since you know that he cares, let your language show it. Don't add words like, I swear to God, to your own words. Don't show your importance by concocting oaths to hurry up God. Just say yes or no. Just say yes or no. Just say what is true. What God is speaking into your heart. That way your language can't be used against you. Yes, I will follow Jesus. No, I will not oppress anyone. Yes, I will love the Lord with all my heart, my soul, and mind. No, I will not do wicked things. You see what yes is? Did you hear any maybes in there? Our culture is really great with maybes. I use maybes as well at times. Maybe tells you nothing. That tells you nothing. Maybe, so what? That means nothing to me. It's either yes or no, and that's what God wants to hear from you. Yes or no. He's not asking for a maybe, because that doesn't count. So think about that when somebody invites you to something. Okay? On Facebook even, they have a maybe, they should take that off. They should just say yes or no. You know you're gone, or if you're not. Being maybe is just trying to be nice, but you're just ticking somebody off. Say yes or no. That's what God wants to hear from you too. Yes or no. And you can't just say yes to Jesus when it's easy and convenient. Yeah, you can say yes then. But yes in other times as well. Say yes to Jesus every day of your life in all circumstances. Every day in all circumstances. That can be tough. Be patient and kind to one another. Submit to the way and the will of God. Wait. I know, you get tired of hearing it. Wait patiently for His return. He could be standing right outside that door, waiting to come through. How are you going to be looking at that time? And I know the promise is there. We're going to wrap things up with John 14, 1 through 3. You can go there if you want. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. He's telling you, get ready. Okay? But while you're getting ready, be patient. Just sit back. Do what you need to do. He's given you everything you have to know about His return right here. And all you got to do is open it up and read it and let it soak into your heart and mind so you can wait patiently. So in those times where you're feeling rushed, God will be there with you. He's coming. We don't know when, but He's coming. And are you ready? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, yeah, we come to you today. We're just asking you to be all over this today, God, and just bring our hearts to find a way to be patient in our lives so we just don't keep running in circles and going crazy with things that are pushing us in all directions, God, to just be patient and wait in you, to be there and listen to what you're speaking into our minds. And if anyone in here is oppressing those folks that need to be lifted up, God, we just ask that their hearts be lightened and they learn to live a life of Jesus. So God, just be with us as we go through this day. Love on us like you always do, God, and let us love on each other as we go through this life as well. God, help us to wait patiently on you. And Father, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.